I mean, Jan really has a real job and he's always had a, like a real hard job. Plus he has the 5 kids. Plus he's always been an elder in the church, both in Philadelphia and now in Shofar. Just to see the balance, that they get it right in everything. And it's really, they will be the first ones to say it's the grace of God, it's the goodness of God, the Lord has blessed them. But why I invited them and Wimarke and Corin next week and even Rolf and Sonia 2 weeks ago, why I invited them is because many of us, we're growing up and we have kids in our homes, and some of you already, I see the elders in the church with, you already have your own kids. But just we have the questions, how do you balance your work, which is a calling from God, your family, and then with that, just to see that you actually still minister in the church, how do you get it right to do everything and still produce a healthy family? And so for that reason, we're really honored to, we would love you to share your heart and what the Lord has blessed you with, and we really honor you today as elders in the church. Thank you.
Thank you, Ross. Thank you, church. It's nice to be here, and it's a privilege. I'm prepared in Afrikaans, so we're going to have to switch to English. So if I hook fast, be patient. Lord Jesus, we just thank you this morning for your love. Lord, and we just say that we love you as well. And we know that you are here, that you move here with your, through your Spirit. That you, and I just want to ask, Holy Spirit, that you will touch our hearts, and that you will reveal to each one of us individually what you want us to hear. Never mind what I'm saying, but Lord, you will do your work, and we trust you. And we thank you for that. Amen. Amen. Yes, as Ross just said, he asked me to share about our life. But first of all, if you get to where we are now, and we look back to your family, you just know no ways that I or we could have achieved that. That was all just grace. So the temptation is to stand here and tell you of all the things that we did wrong. In fact, it's easier to see that than see what you did right. In fact, if you ask us what we've done right, we just don't know. It's all just grace. But what we want to do today is we want to talk about team building. That's not... So... family team building. And I'm going to say that. Family team building. And family team building. Okay? And it will come a little bit clearer to you just now. But, you know, all of us, inside of us, want to know who we are and where we're going. It's all about identity and destiny deep inside ourselves. You can think about it, but that's what we want to be. We want to be somebody, or we want to know we go somewhere. We don't want to be just a feather that's drifting around and not going anywhere. And the same applies to a family. We want to know who we are and where we're going to. And if that is not clear to us, then things go wrong. And if that is clear to us, a lot of things just fall into place. So let us just for a moment just stand back and look at what God thinks about family and marriage in particular, and how God sees us and how he tells us who we are and where we're going to. Now, I just want to read the scripture in English. Yeah, that's in English. Mark 10, verse 6. When Jesus was confronted by the Pharisees about marriage, I'm not going to go into the detail. You know that story in Mark. Jesus said to them, he actually referred to them He talked about Moses, but he skipped Moses and he went right back to the beginning. And Jesus said to them, but in the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Okay? God made them male and female. He made them a team, to put it simply. And for this reason, a man will leave his father and his mother and be united to his wife. So, father and mother. So, God, when he created, and Jesus referring to Genesis there, when God created, after he created man and woman, he already said a man will leave his father and his mother. So he's also already talking about two social structures, a social structure, a family, a father and a mother. excuse me. So let's just go for a moment back to Genesis, to what Jesus is referring to there, what happened in the beginning. And that is in Genesis 1, 26, 27. I have to read it there. Then God said, let us make man. Let us make man. Now that's very, very significant. Just think of it. God did everything. He created everything. He created the universe. He created light. He created everything. And he just said, let it be, let it be, let it be. And then when it came to us, it's like there was a pause, I would suppose. Because God conferred. They talked, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They said, let us make. So already we are something special. And then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. So God poured himself into us, so to say. And he said, to rule, just want to point that out. And at the bottom there, again, he created them as a team. Now, the reason why Jesus talked about this marriage thing is because it didn't quite work. That's why they talked about divorce when they confronted Jesus. So it didn't quite work. So when we say we're a team, we can see that there's a necessity to build on that team. Because it's not working automatically. You know all this. You know the story. You know about Satan and the fruit and all that stuff. But things went wrong right at the beginning. Jesus came and he made it all right again. But nevertheless, we, through the Spirit now, must work on these things. We must build on this team. So, just to, from God's point of view, what is it that is different to us? Just to summarize that. Firstly, it's we have love inside of us. God poured his love into us. That is the first thing. So as you sit here, you have God's love inside you. And the reason why God made a team was because love only works when they're more than one. That's why God is a triunity, so that love can work. And God made a team for us so that love can work. And love is inside us, and it must work. The next thing is, because we have love in us, we can have fellowship. It's in our fellowship that love actually is reflected and comes to life. Thirdly, we, from God's point of view, we have to do something. Besides living out love in our family, living it out wider in our community, we also have to rule. the earth. We have a job to do on this earth. And then lastly, we carry with us God's image. It's incredible, guys. Just think of it. We carry with us God's image. In Romans 2, God says that when we look at creation, we can see His works. But when the world looks at us, they should see God Himself and God's character, God's personality. Because God, we were made according to God's image. So we carry God's image, and we have to display that. So it's all to the glory of God, and it all happens. Love gets expression through relationships. And Tineke is going to talk a little bit about relationships just now. But that's why it's so important that our relationships are, that we build on the relationships, that we build on them, build on them, build on them. So, God in His wisdom, therefore, decided that He created us, He gave us His job, and He decided that it's going to be as a team. First of all, the two of us, marriage, but then from that, a family. That's God's plan, that was His purpose. And so the first thing that we must just realize, it's not in the first place about just the two of us and our happiness and our successes and our children's happiness and successes. It's about God's purpose. God poured Himself in us, and He gave us a job, and He gave us a job to glorify Him. So we are very, very precious in God's eyes. And maybe we should just then now look at a few practical things about building this family team. Here we are. I just want to share from our life maybe. But the first thing is get a vision for yourself. Now, I know that's a whole rigeride word. What is it in English? It's it's almost a cliche these days. A vision, you know. But what is it? What do we mean when you say have a vision? It just means get to understand why you are there, or where you're going. That's a vision. It's simple. And if you are married, by the way, can I just interrupt myself here? I know there's a lot of single people also sitting here this morning. The emphasis this morning is on marriage and family and relationships. But remember, whether you're single or whatever, you are in a family. If you're sitting here this morning, you are within a relationship network. So, and you're in a family. So it also applies to you. If you are divorced and you're single, God has restored you. Some people are called. Remember, some people are called to be single. Paul was called to be single. We're not saying that if you're not in a family or you're not married, that there's something wrong with you. It's God's purpose maybe to call you as a single person, but you are still part of a family, a bigger family, a church. Okay. So just take whatever the Spirit puts on your heart this morning. So when you talk about a vision, when you got married, you probably stood for in front of God with your partner, and you looked her in the eyes, him in the eyes, and you made a promise. You said, I will do this. I will do. And maybe that is that's your vision. That is what you said to your wife and your husband you are going to do and you are going to be. But we never keep that in our minds. We kind of say it, and then we walk away and we do our own thing. But that is a vision. What we did as a family, when my kids were old enough, the youngest was around about small, 5 or 6 or so. It's actually a very special thing for me. You know, I just called the children together one day and we prayed and we said, I said to them, why are we here as a family? It was amazing. You know, I just know that the Holy Spirit worked then. Because what came out there, I just wrote down what came out from these little ones. Okay, not all little, but no adults. And I just captured what came out there. And I know there was the Holy Spirit. And there's nothing, I'm going to read it to you now, and there's nothing mind-blowing. It's actually very simple because his children gave it to us. But if we just look at that, what we said, we as a family, Bosch, who are we? And this is what the children said, not me. They said, ons is gesin, I'll translate it just now. Ons is gesin, skep 'n huis waar ons mekaar in liefde kan opbou en ondersteun. Sorry. Sodat ons kan doen wat God vir ons sê en so kan saamleef dat ons 'n brief van God aan die wêreld is. So basically what it's saying is we want to be a letter for the world to see God in us and to see love operating. And I can look back and thank God for that. And you know, okay, maybe this is the next slide. Then we said, okay, well, what rules are we going to have ourselves? And today you would say what values or whatever, you know, but never mind. These are children that did it, and it's simple. They said, ons sal bely en vergewe. We will confess and forgive. We shall not hurt the church. Now, I can't remember why somebody said that, but one of the children said that, and it's significant for me. You know, we will not hurt the church because we are part of one body, and ons sal die vrug van die gees dra, not our own fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. Ons sal ons lewens aan die Here toewy. Ons sal mildelik uitdeel wat ons ontvang. We shall give what we receive. Ons sal ander mense dien. We will serve other people, not ourselves. And now, you know, if you have a vision, you also need to evaluate yourself against that very often. And I must confess that I didn't do that as regularly as we should. But I know just the fact that we did that before God, and we said to God, God, this is who we want to be. And then you have something to pray for as a family, as a team, regularly. And you test, you say, this is what we want to be. Are we still there? Are we still living out those things? And pray about it. There's nothing as powerful as that for a team to be together. And then later in life, if you just look at the next slide, when two of my children were already married, Hornay and Antoinette was married, and it's just as though the Holy Spirit said to me, just get the family together again. You're now a bigger family. You're not just in Afrikaans, you have a gesin and then a family. I don't know what it is in English. It's a family and a family. Family and a bigger family. What's a gesin in? Yeah, extended family. Now we had an extended family. And I said to the children in my family, that's now my brothers and sisters, we're also 5 children, and we had 2 dead branches in there. In other words, 2 branches that didn't, 2 of my sister, my brother and my sister didn't have children. And I said to my children, listen, we're going to trust God that we're not going to have dead branches in this family. And we said, I said, our vision as a bigger family is we're going to want strong, sound marriages that every branch of our family will be a life-giving river. And you know what? As I talked to the family that day, I think it was only probably 3 or 4 months after that that my daughter Antoinette said that the news came to us that they can't have children. And that hit me, of course. They battled for a long time then. They were married for quite a while. And they were just trying, they couldn't have children. And that's when we started praying and the whole church started to pray. But I held this before God. I said, God, we said and we call on you that I will not have dead branches in my family. And guess what? A few months ago, we got the news, Antoinette is pregnant. And I think some of you saw her testimony in the newsletter. But it's a miracle. And I just believe, you know, that it comes from where we, as a father, where the father, who's the head of the a family, takes a stand. And I just took a stand on this also. I'm not saying that that's the only reason. There's a lot of people prayed. But it's powerful to get your family together and before God, you say where you want to be because then you have something to trust God for. So that is about the vision. Then the next thing I just want to touch on, how are we doing for time, is pull together. Trek psalm, pull together as a family. And first point there is follow the leader. Bible says God is the head of Christ. Christ is the head of man, of the husband, and the husband is the head of the wife. And a family can only have one head. Anything with two heads is a monster. Dragons have two heads. Yeah. So you can have one head. And that doesn't mean that the head is a dictator. It means that they are a team. They take decisions together, but the head takes the accountability and he has the final say and he takes the lead. And it's a topic on its own. I'm not going to go into that right now, but follow the head. The next thing is stick to your roles. You know, any team, the members of any team have roles. If you're in a rugby team and the scrum half decided he's going to change roles with the prop, well, this is this game, it's not going to work. You know, and the same thing with us in family. The Bible is very specific about the roles of husband and wife and children. And I'm not going to go into that. I just mention it. I think a lot of you know about this. And at some other stage, we can go into this because it's a topic on its own. But there are different roles. Let us understand those roles. And let us stick to them. And we will see how things just work. The next thing is develop an interdependency. Now, you know, this is a very powerful thing that Henny Swartz said the other day. He said that in our lives, only about 10%, he's not sure about the percentage, but it's a small portion of our time is uncontrollable events that happen, things that we don't have control over. For 90% of the things we have control over, but the unexpected things, the 10%, comes over us. You know, you drive out here and you have an accident, you couldn't control it, or something like that, or there's a flood, or whatever. It's an uncontrollable thing. But he says is, what he said, and listen to this. He said, it's not these events that have an influence on your life, that influences you. It's how you interpret what happens and how you react to that that determines how you're going to react on that. So that is a principle that I think we must also have in our families with our children. Let us teach them that when there's an unexpected event, that we've got to stand together and that we and help them to deal with that event. And in our life, it also kind of happened like that, just by itself. You know, we didn't plan it, we didn't know it, but we have this joke in the family. Whenever we go on holiday, things go wrong. Not big things, but you know, like once we went to Zimbabwe, our first big holiday, and the combi just broke down every time. And then every time we had to make plans. And as a family, it was actually one of the most exciting times in our life, because all the unexpected things and how we had to stand together and work together and to overcome. And it was a joyful thing. I also remember once that we, as a family, went camping in the Cedarburg, and clear skies, beautiful evening, and we walked all day right up to Sneeuwkop, for those who know the place, and we were going to sleep out there, and then we're just in our sleeping bags and tired and all that, and suddenly I just saw the stars disappear and clouds come here. And the next thing is a little drizzle, and we were not prepared for rain. So as a head of the home, I thought, now what now? You know, it's still early evening. We have two options. We either lie there and get soaked, and we are cold for the rest of the night, and in the morning we have to try and get down with this wet clothes and sleeping bags and what have you. But the other option is get up and get down in the dark, and it's far. It was a whole day's walk, and I decided, let's go now. So I said to the children, pack up, and we packed up, and we had one little torch with a pen light thing, and after a half an hour that went, so it was pitch dark. And there we were struggling, and poor old Adina, I can still see her little legs, you know, thin legs. And then we said, okay, we made a plan. Mornay was going to walk in front because he had white tackies, and all we could see is the white tackies. So if he steps into and we see the white tackies disappear, we all know, okay, well, there's a... So he was walking in front, but then, and we stumbled through over rocks and plants, and it was now in the middle of the night, that we're struggling down there. But then we were holding on to each other, and we held hands, and when one of them us fell, the others would pull him up, and after a while, Mona was carrying Adina, and so it went. But it was a joyful thing, you know, for us. And when it's one of the things we still talk about, and this is just one incident, you know, like, but the point I want to make about this is, there we were forced to be together because of the circumstances, the unavoidable, the unexpected that happened. But when things in the family happens, when there's a sickness, not in a close family, involve the children. You know, you say, this is us. We're a team. We're going into this together. Because those are the unexpected things that come over your path, and get the children involved. So, because what it does is it builds an interdependency amongst you, and of course, that is an incredible strength something that you will see bear fruit. Okay, I think that is about what I had to say, and I'm just going to hand over to Tineke, who's going to talk a little bit more about relationships.
Good morning. Good morning. Yeah, you hear me. So if you want some adventure, offer to go on holiday with the Boshes. It's always an adventure. It always snows, or it hails, or the car breaks down, or anything. But it's always an adventure. Adventure. So I want to speak about the third one, the third point in our talk, and that is to build on the relationships in the marriage. A marriage consists of not the people, because you can have a lot of people together and they not automatically form a family. It's how you live together. It's the bond between those people. The first primary relationship is the marriage. Okay? And it's actually marvelous how God did it. He brought two people together. It's His will that two people come together, two different people, and they form a unity. Now, when the most of our problems in marriage comes from the fact that we try and make the other one like I am, okay? Because I understand me, and I know how me thinks, and how I do things, and so I don't understand you, and I want you to become like me, okay? But God wanted two different people to remain different, but to form a unity. And that's an amazing principle that the world doesn't understand, but I believe that God wants us to understand that very clearly, that we need to live together as two different people. And God put two different people together in a very unique unity. He says we become one. A man shall leave his father and his mother and cleave to his wife, and you will become one. So I believe that God wants us to understand that we need to appreciate one's differences, our differences, and we need to learn to understand our partner and live in that huge potential of two different people with two different capacities to be creative, to plan and everything. And if we understand that, then we as married couples, we can almost change the world, okay? And God wants us to understand that in the church family as well, that we are different and that we must appreciate one's differences, our differences, and that we actually are such a huge creative unity as a family, as a church as well, that we can really change the world. And I believe that God has put on our leadership's heart that we really need to understand family. And that is one of the things that we are going to understand, is how really to live together in marriage first, but also in the family as different people, and allow each other to be different and to appreciate that and honor that. And then we will really be able to fulfill God's purpose for us in the earth. That means that as a married couple, we need to become intimate, know one another intimately. Okay, that's intimacy, to know one another, really, to share yourself. Adam and Eve, they were naked, and they were not ashamed. I believe that also means there was nothing between them. They weren't ashamed to share themselves with one another. And that brings about a very close unity where you can actually pull together as a team, as Jan said. And that also means that you need to spend time together. You need to get to know one another. In our days, we get so busy, and we tend to each go our own direction, and in the end, we just sleep together. We don't even eat together in our houses. We just sleep together, and then we rush out again. And then we are surprised that we don't get our marriage right, that we don't stay a unity. So we need to spend time together. We need to do things together. Okay? And that's the privilege that we have in a church, that we can serve in the church together. Because there we also learn as a couple, as a family. We get to know one another. The other one is that we have to submit to one another. That's part of getting to know the other, is to submit to him as he is, as she is, but also in the roles that we have. And then it's very important to realize that the strength of the marriage determines the strength of the family. The strength of the marriage determines how well the children will grow up, how well they will mature, how well they will be able to step out into the world as grown-ups, as young teenagers. Okay, so it's so important to realize that the happiness of the family and the happiness of the children is dependent of the happiness of the couple, of the parents. That is why it's so important to never lose heart in building on your marriage, because it has an effect in the next generations. And what happens then is that when you as a couple discover your full potential as two different people, you will be able to duplicate that into your children. And in a sense, they will come out richer than when we try and be the same. We need to be different, and we need to build that big, we need to realize that that's also something that will enrich the children and the next generations. God wants us to be his image on the earth, to reflect him on the earth, and as individuals, but also in marriage and also in family. So God has actually done a wonderful thing. He's deposited himself into us. Okay, his Holy Spirit lives in us, and we are made in his image. And it's his plan that this image will be carried on by our children. So we as parents have the wonderful privilege to have a relationship with God and to allow him to deposit himself into us so that we can again deposit God into our children. They have to make their own decision for God, but it's about building character. It's about modeling how to live with God, how to be intimate with God. They learn that from you because that's what God wants in the first place. So we're not only to bring them forth like biologically, but when God says multiply and fill the earth, because he wants a godly generation on the earth, he wants us to raise our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, as it says, in the ways of the Lord. Romans 8 verse 29 says, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son. Okay? It's God's will that we become, that we carry the Son's image. We become conformed to the likeness of his Son. In Afrikaans it says that om gelijkvormig te wees aan die beeld van sy Seun. En ons word gelijkvormig aan die beeld van sy Seun. We become like Jesus. We become like God if we spend time with him, if we are intimate with him. The more we are intimate with God, the more we become like him, the more we can live out his character, his love, as Jan said, and all the other attributes that God has. God wants us to show the world who he is. And the same is the same with our children. If we spend time with our children, if we let them grow up around us, then they will become like us. And if we are like God, they will become like God. And it's an amazing privilege that we have to be role models, as we call it, for our children, and to help them to live life, how to live life as in the kingdom, as children of God and as a godly family. That means that we need, or actually I want to mention this first, it's like Jesus with his disciples. Jesus didn't teach his disciples. He didn't give them a class every day, a lecture, and say, this is how you need to live. He took them with him. He actually walked the road with them for a few years to show them what it means, to show them the Father, to show them what it means to have God in you, what it means in practical life. So he took the disciples with him, and that is how he taught them, not by putting them in a school or by giving them lectures or whatever. It was like in-job training that they got. And that is what we should do with our children as well. And we should see that as a wonderful, wonderful calling, wonderful privilege. That means that we need to take responsibility for growing up, for the education, for bringing up the children. Okay, God entrusted us with the children, with our own children. Okay, and maybe with others as well, but if I speak about the family, obviously it's also applicable to the church. The church has also got children coming in. So we need to bring them up. We can't, God will keep us accountable for our children. Not the school, not the creche, not the church, not our children's friends, not even grandparents. He will keep you accountable for your child. And that's actually a glorious thing, because that's the natural thing. That's how it's going to work if we realize that that is how God planned it. So I want to make you excited about it. You know, it's something that Jan said, we didn't know, you know, when someone asks you, okay, how did you do it? How did you bring up 5 children that are solid grown-ups and that serve the Lord? We really don't know. I mean, it's the biggest miracle. It's the grace of God that you see in them, you know. And you as older parents, you know, you always want to do it again. But we must have done something well and something right. And when I was thinking about that, and I just know that I learned in my family to love family. I come from a family where we love to be family. And that's by default what I did. Okay, I loved family. And Jan also, he comes also from a bigger family. They love to be family. And that is how we learned what family is. So it's not really, you know, we plan to do this. Some of you have to say, okay, we are a new beginning in our generation. So we are going to say, love to be family. But we did it naturally. Okay, and that's one of the things. Our marriage wasn't always where it should be. We didn't start marriage like you young guys do with all the marriage prep and all that. We had to really become desperate and almost lost our marriage before God came in and he restored us, you know. So, especially the first lot of years, we didn't do things right at all. And, you know, I feel I'm only learning now how to submit to my husband, you know. I didn't do all of those things right. But some of it we did by default. Okay, we were a family. We love to be family. And I think that's very important. That's something that maybe was something right. Okay. So you don't have to think you need to be perfect. God, you are walking a road with God, and your children are walking a road with you. And that is God's grace kicking in, you know. And some things just work out. As long as you work on your intimacy with God, things will work out. You are a child of God, and you have to stick around him and become like him. And that's the important thing. Okay. Yes, God keeps you accountable. When you get married, when a couple gets married, they make themselves available to bring forth children and to raise them in the Lord. Okay? That's one of the most important things that you can glorify God with. If you have children and you raise them in the Lord. Okay? And that is one of the most important ways that you can help build God's kingdom in this world. You can be busy in the church and you can do all things, but if you have children, that's your first place where you build the kingdom of God. Okay? If you do that, you actually will have time to serve further in the church as well, because you need to do that as a family as well. So that means that there will be sacrifice. And there will be sacrifice because you have to serve the next generation, okay? But it's glorious. When you come to the end of your life, my husband is retired now, and he just realizes that when you get older, you look back on your life, and when you had a good career, that's wonderful. When you've meant something in the community, that's wonderful. But you know, if you see your children and they serve the Lord and there's love in the family, that's something that surpasses all the other achievements in your life. Okay? So don't ever think that you can neglect that for a career or anything like that. At the end of the world, that is at the end of your days, when you die and you leave behind a godly generation, that's something that is noteworthy, and that is building God's kingdom, and that is what we are called for in the first place. Okay, so the world we live in is a world of institutions, of programs, of events, of skills. Okay, and you as parents know how difficult it is to steer through all this and keep your focus right. Because the world makes us believe that our children will become good adults if you send them to the best schools from 1 year old, and you send them to the best universities, and they experience a lot, and they acquire skills. Okay, that's important. It's not that I say it's not important, but the most important thing is that you build their character, and character is built by children. They copy. Okay, children copy. That is how children learn. So children will copy from somewhere, but God wants them to copy from you. And therefore, you need to spend time with your children as well. You need to spend time as a family. Okay, it's not even good enough that mom or dad is with the children all the time. Okay, at least one of us is with the children. That's something what you hear these days. You also need to spend time together as a family. Children need to experience family. They need to experience God in the family as well. We live in a world that we grow up very individualistic, okay? And I think one of the reasons is because so few of us really experience family. Because it's in family that you learn by copying. In family, you learn. You can learn endurance in a sport that you excel in. It's wonderful. But endurance in life, you learn in the family. Okay? As Jan said, if there's sickness in the family, then the others, they endure in those times. When there's a new baby coming in, Buti and Sissy, they don't get all the attention anymore. But it's still an environment of love, and they learn endurance. I mean, it's simple examples, but that is how it works. Those simple character traits get built into your child in everyday life. So you need to take your child with you in life. And don't feel that you need... It's not child-centeredness. That's not what I'm talking about. Child-centeredness is putting your child on a pedestal and making him believe that he's the most important being in the whole world, and you are just there for him. This is kingdom focused. Okay, this is raising your child to know how to live in the kingdom of God. This is raising your child to bring forth the kingdom in this earth even when you're gone. Okay? So they can take your legacy further into the next generation. They'll be able to raise their next generation so that they can again raise their next generation. Okay? That is why we need to spend time with our children as a family, do things together, do life together. Okay? It's not enough just to go on holiday together with your children. That's good, but don't feel you need to entertain your children all the time. If you're in the ministry in the church, if Ross has a child, that child will be brought to church when he ministers. Okay? And that child will learn things there. And that child will be happy there because he's with daddy and he's with mommy. Okay? If our children feel they are part of the team, we don't have to entertain them all the time. We can do life with them. And they will be happy because they feel important. They're part of the team and they learn something from mommy and dad, and they will become excited about what you are doing just by being with you. Okay? Milani, the toy, they're always talking about that when they were in the States, they were in ministry there, and their little one literally grew up in church. He was there from the morning early till late at night, often a lot in other people's hands, but he was happy. He didn't mind because mom and dad were doing what they were meant to do. Okay, so don't worry about entertaining your children all the time. That's what the world tells us. You must entertain them, must entertain them, must entertain them. That's not it. My mom always said, "You're not your child's playmate. You are your child's mother," and that's something that got stuck with me. So even if you are busy at home with the other children, doesn't matter. Okay, we sometimes feel guilty about all funny stuff that the world makes us feel guilty about. I'm talking here about impartation. Okay, impartation in Afrikaans, it's medial of oordra. Okay. It's carrying over into your child what you have. And impartation takes place in everyday life. Impartation doesn't take place in a lecture. You will get lectured at university, but often the biggest impartation, the biggest asset that you get out of that is what the lecturer is like, his character, okay, how he loves his subject. That is what is carried over in you, not the facts. And that is how it happens. That's impartation. Sorry, I'm going far over my time. You see, I'm not used to preaching. I'm just the mama. In Deuteronomy 11, it says, verse 18 to 20, "Therefore you shall lay up these words in your heart and in your souls and bind them for a sign upon your hand, so that they may be as frontlets between your eyes, and you shall teach them to your sons, speaking of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and upon the gates." This talks about impartation, about learning teaching your children in everyday life. When you are hospitable as a family, your child will be hospitable by default when he grows up. When your home is open, like your couch is open to other people to fill it, your child will like to have people around him. He won't mind when he grows up to share what he has with others. So it's a default character that you built into your child. Okay? We know people in Luxembourg. They are a lovely family. They have a little box, a prayer box, and every morning they pray together. And when anybody can put something into the prayer box, and it's about other people. You know, it's praying for other people. They will pull out a prayer and they will pray for that family during that day. Okay, and these children are so aware of people around them in their needs. When they walk into church, they notice what people need. They will come and offer to help you at tea or anything like that. So it's a default character that you built into your child, but just by having your child hang around you. You know, it's not a big job. It's taking your child with you in life. Um, Yeah, he says I must finish. My last point. A child develops the best in an environment of security, with love, with encouragement, with acceptance, and all that. And that is what a child gets in a family. But for that also to happen, you need to create a home. Okay, I just want to mention that quickly. You need to create a home, okay? And a home is where people care for one another, where you can be yourself, where you are accepted as you are, where you are encouraged, where you can just blossom without pressure on you to perform. Okay, that's a home. And I want to encourage you to really pray about this and think about this and plan this. Hard to create a home. And obviously, it's going to take time. Okay? A home is not just where people sleep together. It's where people live together, where they eat together. So as a family, eat together, play together, do things together in your home and outside. And when you do that, when your children are little, when you do that properly, your children will mature quickly and they will be able to take their stand in the world and not to give way to everything that the peers deposit on them and expect from them and all that. This is not to say, it's not a recipe that I'm giving you and say, because we did that, our children are saved and our children are solid grown-ups. That's not what I'm saying. It's still the grace of God. But if you just do this, even if you're a single mom and you know that there's no daddy around for your children, and you can only model mum to your children, you must trust God that someone else in church will stand up and they will find a role model in church and they will find a daddy to follow in church. And sometimes we don't know these things. We grew up in homes where we didn't have that and we don't know what family is at all. And I think we need to pray for you today, if that's you. And you say, I don't know. I don't come from a family. I didn't have a mom and dad to follow because they weren't good role models. They weren't children of God. We must pray for you, and God will help you. If you ask him to instill the father heart and the mother heart and the family heart into you, he will do that. Okay? And if you are intimate with God, he will bring forth the fruit in you. Like the intimacy between husband and wife brings forth children, intimacy with God brings forth the fruits of the Spirit, and intimacy within the family will again bring forth the fruit in the children and in the next generation. And it's just something, I just want to create hope in you. And it's not that I want to stand here as Mrs. Perfect and say we've done everything right and that's why. It's the grace of God, and God wants your child to grow up well. He wants your marriage to succeed. He wants you to be a happy family who will mean something in the world, who will be able to even help the church raise their next generation. Because then you will have done what you should by the time you die. And you will have left behind the legacy. And yeah, that's just what I wasn't want to.
Shall we stand? Let me just stand. And like Tineke said, if you are alone, if you are not, you haven't got the reference of a family, and we just want to pray with you this morning. And I want you just to come forward now when we close, and we'll pray with you. But also for those, what Tineke has also said is, it's our intimacy with God. When we receive from God, that we can give and impart on others. And if you are here this morning and you feel that you are not, you haven't got that relationship with God that helps you to understand who you are and where you are with God, please come forward and we will pray with you. There will be other people here also pray with you. But I'm just going to give to Ross just to close.
Thank you, Mian. Tineke. Thank you so much. And like we said before, it's easy to receive because we can see that God has done something in you, and we covet that, we desire that.